Well, good morning and greetings to each one. It's good to be here with each one of you this morning, and I was very blessed by the songs and very blessed by what Arthur shared. So thank you. Thank you, Arthur. Just really blessed me, or I should say it really blesses me how God, it seems time and time again, works for our good. As Arthur was sharing, then as we sang that last song, it hit me because it goes right along with what I felt God leading me to share on. And what I feel God has led me to share on this morning is, if you want a title, simply Created to Serve. And, you know, I really think that's, you know, that's what God wants for each one of our lives. And I don't feel like that, I don't feel like we always know how to walk that out perfectly. I know for myself, I have so much to learn in that. But I really do truly believe that that's what he has created us for, and that's what he wants us to do, is to serve. First of all, to serve him. But then to serve each other as well. So it's going to be kind of two parts. First, you know, serving God. You know, what does it mean to serve God? And then why should we love God? And then, how do we love God through, or how do, I'm sorry, how do we serve God through serving others? So to begin, what does it mean to serve God? What does it mean to you? I don't know, maybe some of you have, give an idea when you think of serving God. What does it mean to you when you think of serving God? Just real quick, anybody? Right. That was on my mind. That hit me. I think it's very simple. Doing what God tells us to do. That's a very huge part of it. That's right. That's right. Anybody else?
Being devoted to God.
That's right.
Both in practice.
Amen. Thank you for that. Anyone else?
Having a single eye.
That's right. Thank you. If there's nobody else, just a few that I have. It means that we need to have a relationship with God. So if we don't have a relationship with him, we're not going to be serving him. I'm going to read Matthew 16, verses 24 through 28. Don't feel like you have to turn there. Matthew 16, verses 24 through 28. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works. Assuredly, I say to you, there are some standing here who shall not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." So we see there in verse 24, denying, we see there in verse 24, denying self. It means denying ourselves. Thank you, Henry. It means denying ourselves and the things of the world and seeking after the things of God. Instead of seeking after the things of the world. It means having a love and a desire for the things of God instead of a love and a desire for our own selfish and prideful ways. It means walking in the footsteps of Jesus each and every day. No matter what, as Brother Ed said, being fully devoted to God means fully surrendering our lives to Him. And I know that's not always easy, but I think the key thing is that needs to be our heart, that needs to be our desire. John chapter 12, verse 25 through 26. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. So if we choose to deny ourselves, if we choose to deny the things of the flesh, the things of the world, if we follow in the footsteps of Jesus, if we devote ourselves to Him, if we surrender ourselves to Him, He is going to be with us. We have promise of eternal life. And it says in the end of 26, Him, my Father, will honor. The next, why should we love and serve God? And I have a few things here, but I'd like for each one of us to just, you know, think about that in our own minds. You know, what does that mean? Why do I love? Why do I serve God? One is because He is our Creator, and He is our Redeemer. He created us, like I said, for a specific purpose, to serve Him. But then because of the fall of man, because of our own choices to walk away from God, you know, we're all born with that sinful nature, which makes it so that we have the need for Jesus, so we have a need for a Redeemer. And I'm so thankful for that today, we all have access to that. We should also love and serve God because He first loved us. And because He served us. It was a new thought that came to me. It kind of sounds weird, you know, think of God serving us, you know. But it is a reality. He loved and He served us through His death and His resurrection. He saw that the need that we had, and He loved us so much that He chose to suffer, to go through that just for us, to serve our need for a Redeemer. John 4, verse 19, simply says, we love Him because He first loved us. That in itself alone is enough. It's a good enough reason right there for us to follow God, to be devoted to Him, to surrender to Him, and to serve Him, because He first loved us. He does not require, He does not force us to. We each have the choice whether or not we want to surrender, whether we want to serve Him. It is God's will, it's His desire to have a relationship with Him, for us to have a relationship with Him. It's His desire for us to serve Him. And through that, we can find peace, renewing of our minds, renewing of our desires and our wishes. And I can testify to that in my own life, you know. by me choosing to surrender, you know, the deep, dark sins, you know, that I was hiding for so long in my own life. By choosing to surrender that stuff and to follow, to serve God, I was able to experience freedom. And that brings joy to God's heart when we make that decision to serve Him, to follow Him. God created us, as I said before, God created us to serve Him and to bring honor and glory to Him with our lives. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12 through 13. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in His ways, and to love Him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the commandments of the Lord and His statutes, which I command you today for your good. It was His desire to be our Savior, to be our Redeemer, and for us to serve Him. Because it would be for our own good. Walk in His ways and love Him. Serve the Lord your God with all of your heart. Not just somewhere in between, not just mediocre, but serve Him with all of your heart. He calls us to that. Mark chapter 12, verse 30 through 31. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like it is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. So He calls us, we're invited to experience, you know, this love that God has for us, that He desires for each one of us to have in our lives. But not only that, He also calls us to share that love with others, with our neighbors. It might be our own brothers and sisters here in the church. It might be our actual next-door neighbor. It might be our coworkers. You fill in the blank. He asks us to share that love. Love your neighbor as yourself. Or serve your neighbor. And it's through Christ serving us, through Christ redeeming us, it's through us walking in the path of Jesus, walking in His commandments and obedience. It's through that, I think, that we can truly experience or truly know what it is to serve God through serving others. I know we can all serve, like on this, you know, we don't have to be a Christian. We can go and we can serve in certain things and we feel good. But I think there's a depth that comes with our relationship with God and the way we serve God that translates into the way that we serve each other as brothers and sisters and the way we serve as Christians. So what does it mean to serve God through serving others? What, you know, what does that look like? And again, you know, let your mind run on that. The first one I have here is being Christ-like. Showing them God's love. It means having humility. It means having a love for others, that same love that God has given, or that same love that God has for each one of us. Show that love. It means preferring others above ourselves. And I think God left the prime example of that, the way that he died for each one of us. He put others, these wretched people that chose to turn against him, he put us before himself. He could have called angels and been taken off the cross and been saved from all that pain and all that. But he put others before himself. I think that's something that I know for myself I can learn a lot in walking in that same way. Just from the day-to-day things that I do in my life. It means being quick to use the time that God has given to bless, to serve, or to benefit others. And again, that can be really hard. And especially if you think you see something else in somebody's life that makes it so that they don't deserve to be served. They don't deserve to have love. They don't, you know. I think sometimes we can be really tempted to feel that way. But that's not how God looked at it. His love, I believe, is the same for each one of us. His desires for each one of us is the same. Loving and serving others is going to be a key attribute of someone who truly loves and follows God. I want that to be, that's my desire for my life. And that's my desire for each one of us, that we can love, that we can serve, that we can follow God. But that there could be an attribute in each one of our lives. Loving and serving each other. And as Christians, I think that with what God has done for us and with what he has called us to, when it comes to showing love to those around us, to our neighbors, to our brothers or sisters, I think that we could do, I know for myself anyways, maybe probably there's a lot of you that do better than I do, but I think that we should continually be on the lookout for ways that we can serve one another. And I think it's very important that we do that, not just out of duty, but because we love each other. And most of all, does anybody know what else? Most of all, because what? That's right. That's exactly right. Because of our love for God, not out of duty, but because, yes, we love each other and we want to serve each other, but because we love God and we want to serve God. And because that's what God wants us to do. That's why he put us here on the earth, is because he wants us to do that for each other. God has created us to love and to serve him through loving and serving those around us. Galatians 5:13. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. Through love, serve one another. And as I mentioned before, I think Jesus is a perfect example of serving others. And I think if you go through the Bible, I think you could probably be here all day for all the different ways and the different people that he served. But, you know, one key example that came to me, and we talk about it every communion. Anybody have any ideas? But that is the way he had communion with the disciples. He washed the disciples' feet. And my wife and I were having a conversation this past week with, I think it was with Irvin, and I think we were all at Debbie's. But we were talking about how Jesus, you know, how he had communion with them. He washed their feet. And he told Judas to go outside so that, wait, no, he didn't. No, Jesus washed even Judas's feet. And that was something that I had never really put too much thought into, you know, because he was one of the disciples, and God knew full well that he was going to betray him. But he still loved him. He still washed his feet. And I think that's such a tremendous example for us. That just shows how much God loved Judas, even though he was going to turn his back on him. It just shows how much God loves each one of us. And I think that's also an example of how much he wants us to love one another. And Jesus, when he walked, you know, when he walked on this earth, he healed the sick, he healed the blind, he healed the lame, he cast out demons. But I think God can still do that today for each one of us. He loves each one of us. He desires to heal each one of us. He cares about the things that we go through. He's just as real today as he was back then when he walked on this earth. And he's sitting on the right hand of God our Father, interceding for each one of us because of his love for us. You know, just read here in Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 to 46. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you do it to one of these, one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Then he will also say to those on the left hand, Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick, and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry, or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. I really like this chapter here. And I think it goes very much along with the calling that God has called us to serve him through serving others. We don't know. It might be our own Christian brother over here, or it might be some stranger that we meet on the street. We don't know. We don't know when we're ministering, when we're serving God, when we're ministering to God. As you can see here, the people on the right, they're like, when did we do this? But to me, that tells us somebody that was truly following after God and serving Him with all their hearts. They were focusing on their relationship with God. They were focusing on serving Him. They were focusing on bringing honor and glory to Him. And it was through their walking with God and serving God that they obviously, unknowingly, were serving, that they were obviously bringing honor and glory to God. Serving is not a demeaning thing. Instead, serving is a position of honor and privilege. And we get to emulate our Savior by loving and serving others. There is joy, there is blessing, and there is fulfillment in serving God, but also serving each other, by serving our neighbor, by serving our brother. And I think it is also important for each one of us to remember that through serving others, through serving God, through serving others, we can be an instrument in helping them experience God's love. I think we need to remember that. It might be one of the most insignificant interactions you have with somebody that you're like, you don't think anything of it. But you don't know how God is using that interaction to speak to somebody. We can serve God through whatever it is that we find ourselves faced with, whatever we are going through, whatever we are doing at the time. Maybe it's taking time for someone that is hurting, for somebody that's going through hurts in their life. Maybe it's showing love or support to someone that's lost a loved one. Maybe it's taking time to just sit down and just be quiet. Just listen to your brother's, hear your brother's heart, hear your sister's heart. Or maybe it's just through doing the normal mundane things that we do from day to day. That there is also a way that we can serve God. It really is. And I'm still learning that. Maybe it's, as I mentioned, maybe it's serving in the workplace. Maybe it's serving our boss. Maybe it's the way our diligence. Maybe it's the way we serve there. Maybe it's being a school teacher. You're serving the children. And maybe it's being that mother that's just day in and day out caring for the children, taking care of the household, keeping the house clean, making the food. I'd like to suggest that that is serving, and that is serving God just as much as it is to go to New York City. It really is. You're working with young souls. That does not go unnoticed to God. And as we heard this morning, God cares about the children. That's just as important as going and witnessing on the street. Maybe it's being a father that has patience and takes time to listen and answer the 1,000 questions that the children come asking. And I feel like that's, I can learn a lot in that for myself. There's sometimes, you know, the children can come and they just ask question after question. And, you know, I generally try to be pretty patient with them. But, you know, after a while, it can, you know, it can start wearing on you. But do you know what? We can be showing God to them. When I think of the patience, the love that God has for each one of us, I have a lot to learn. First Peter 4, verses 7 through 11. But the end of all things is this. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Above all things, have a fervent love for one another. Love each other without end. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. When God brings his things our way, let's not grumble. It's just one of many ways that we can serve God. Just one of many ways that we can serve one another. And it doesn't matter where we find ourselves. It doesn't matter if we are, it doesn't matter if we are young. It doesn't matter if we are old. There is a place, well, first of all, God loves us all the same. But there's a place for each one of us to serve. Even for the young children. You know, for young children, just having those normal day-to-day chores where you're, you know, for my children, it's feeding the dogs, feeding the chickens, cleaning up the house, helping with the dishes, clearing the table. Those can just seem so boring, and we just don't want to do that. It's no fun. But I'd like to encourage you to think about it in a little different way. That's just the way that, first of all, you can serve your parents. But even more critical than that is it's a way that you can serve God. And I think cultivating that in your young hearts now while you're younger is going to make it a lot easier when you get, as you get older, to be able to serve in much, maybe much bigger ways, if you will. And it's going to also have a huge impact on the way you serve God. Maybe it's us as parents. I mean, there's so many different ways. I mean, I could make a huge list, but I'll let you make that list or fill in the blanks. You know, whether it's serving our children, whether it's husband and wife, serving each other, loving each other, the way that Christ loves each one of us. Maybe it's the grandpa, maybe it's the grandma. You know, I haven't been there, but you know, I think I can see how it could be easy as you get older. You start feeling like, well, you know, I'm older now; it's just not worth much anymore. I just can't do what I used to do. We can kind of have it, you know, look at it in a negative way, but that's not true. The way you can serve as a grandpa is still just as important as the day it was when you still had children running around your feet. You have the experience, you have the knowledge, and you have the wisdom that I think you can give to us younger ones, that you can serve us with. And then lastly, in closing, I would just like to say thank you to each one of you brothers and sisters for the way that you have allowed God to work in your hearts and your lives, the way that you've allowed God to use you to serve in many different ways, you know, outside of church, like as I mentioned, in, you know, in the workplace, touching people's lives outside of church. But, you know, then I think of all the stuff that goes on here inside of the church, even especially. You know, we have ushers. Thank you, Lester. We have trustees. We have the kitchen staff. We have the families that come and they clean the church. I know that there's some I'm missing. There's John, there's Daryl, there's Gerald, you know, the way they serve. And I'm just so thankful for that. And I want to bless you for the way that you serve. And that does not go unnoticed to God. The parents, that's what I'm forgetting. The mothers, that does not go unnoticed. And that brings honor and glory to God. When we can serve in the capacity that we do, and not to discourage, but encourage us, let's keep seeking God. Let's keep seeking ways that we can serve one another, the way that we can serve God in a better way. God bless each one of you, and thank you for your attention.